In the beginning, there was nothing. Then there were comic books. Once you enter our world, there is no escape. Comic exposure begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Comic Exposure Podcast. My name is Josh, and with me is my summer angel, my summer lovin', the one, the only.
I wish they all could be Travis Ratz here.
On this podcast, the Comic Exposure Podcast, Travis Ratz and I dive deep into graphic novels and trades. We call that the Comic Book Club, and normally every summer, Travis and I set a summer event to harken back to our youth when there would be that big summer comic book event. Marvel would do something, DC would do something, and thus we do something. Every summer, Travis and I try to plan out, what is our summer reading going to be like? Partly because Travis hops on a plane for 20 hours to get back to the States, and comic book reading and comic book podcast recording have to be done in a creative way. I peeled back the curtain and let you know our secrets, but
listen, people, when you pack for a trip, I only do carry-ons. It takes a lot to get podcast gear in there.
And he wears like the same three outfits for like a whole month. It's wild. So Travis, tell the people what our job is today on the Comic Exposure Podcast.
So we start doing this with some of our bigger events. We did it last year for Star Wars Summer Extravaganza, where we're, like Josh said earlier, peeling back that curtain, just drawing it back. It's on its rickety little chain. You know, it's an old theater. And what we like to do is pick our summer books with you guys, just kind of be open about it and talk about, well, Josh and I are actually sharing possible picks that we'd be interested in reading for the event today with each other and with you live. So we are tangentially calling this Indie Standalone Summer, for lack of a clever phrase. And this has been through some amalgamations. And so I'm gonna squeak that curtain back a little bit further, Josh. I'm gonna do this.
Yeah.
This was a little bit of a last minute change, because our original plan was to do, we were gonna do like a Saturday morning cartoon summer, where we were gonna find comics and trades that were, you know, based out of or created off of, you know, cartoons when we were kids.
Yeah.
All Transformers, Ninja Turtles, Thundercats, Scooby-Doo. And we were just kind of honest and looking at it, is there's some good books out there that might be fun to read, but stacking them all together, they all kind of maybe start to felt like they all were kind of giving a similar vibe.
Yeah.
And reading six books with a similar vibe, we just thought maybe we would get a little tired of that. So we switched it around and we started talking about what have we done so far this year and what do we want to do. We've read a lot of superhero books with the DC Ultimate or Absolute.
Yeah.
Western. So we've been doing themes throughout this new year. So we decided that, hey, this summer, let's read something that's not part of the, you know, the big three, DC, Marvel, and Image. Let's keep it indie, but let's add some more boundaries to it, meaning that we set out to pick indie books that were self-contained for the most part, and maybe bringing in new creators. So not indie books that by indie creators that we're typically reading. We'll see in our draft today how well we stuck to those boundaries. I don't even know if I stuck to the boundaries very well. I didn't have a checklist of boxes. So you feel free to call me out on some of those. And we're hoping by the end of today to come up with maybe six books that we can put on our list, share with you, so you can go to your local provider, pick them up, and read along with us.
Yeah. So I, Travis, as I looked at this, you're right. We talked about, let's find something maybe from some creators that we haven't read before. Let's try to make them graphic novels instead of comic books. I had to take two of them off my list because when I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And then when I went to go look up a little bit more about them, I was like, oh, they're released in single issues. Okay. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that if they're released in single issues. I wanted one type of story. And I didn't really see that they were released in singles until I like jumped on Amazon to go see, like, okay, can I get them on my Kindle? Can I get them in hard copy? What's it going to look like? So we're going to dive in. Travis and I are going to go
with back. The caveat too that even after we select them, start reading them on the day, we'd be like, oh, also, by the way, there's like 8 more of these. We didn't know. This is we're drafting them on our limited knowledge of what looks cool.
And I will also say I'm okay if it's a continual story. Oftentimes, if we're looking at a graphic novel, it might continue, but it's probably a good self-contained run anyways if it's been released in graphic novel form, right? So Travis and I are going to bounce back and forth, sharing our books, talking a little bit about them, talking a little bit about the art, and then at the end, we're going to go, okay, this is a list of books that we're going to do. So Travis, what I want to know is how many books are you bringing to the show?
I'm bringing 4.
Okay. I've got 5. I've got 5 books. So okay. We have a total of 9 mm-hmm. to go off of. So that being the number, I'll go first, right? I'll share my
first. We might have some overlaps too.
We might have some overlaps because I want to know, before we get into sharing our books, how did you go about hunting for our indie
book? That's a really interesting one. And
what was your process?
So let's start with how we hunted, then let's go through the books, and then let's talk about at the end what we're maybe hoping to discover with, you know, some of the books that we have on our list.
Yeah.
So first, you know, I always do kind of, I always want to kind of just do some quick searches to see what's out there, you know, so I might do something like a, you know, best standalone graphic novels 2025, right? And that kind of gets you in the ballpark and you start to see the titles that are coming up again. The tricky part with that is that a lot of times you will get a lot of just image books, right? And they... even though it's supposed to be standalone, they do come out in single issues. And so I found that way of searching wasn't getting me books that was necessarily true to how I interpreted the task.
Yeah.
And so at some point, you know, usually if I can find one interesting book, I'm like, this is really interesting. I kind of want books like this. Then I'll look down at the, like, Amazon, like, oh, what are some of the, you know, similar books that are in this world. And so you kind of leapfrog from books, kind of the way you find music on like Spotify or something like that.
Yeah.
And a couple of them are books that have been in the zeitgeist for a little while, or I've heard about, and I've seen over and over again, but never paid attention to because I wasn't looking for them. Like, oh, I've seen this cover. Oh, I've heard about this one and I'm picking it up. How about you? What was your approach?
I think I started the same way. I started looking for like best graphic novels of the 2020s. Right. And then you get like the American Library Association's list. You get a couple different
Goodreads.
Goodreads, a couple different comic book websites give you some examples of that. I didn't want to go back too far, right? I wanted to keep them more current. Mm-hmm. So I tried to stick in that 2020s era. And then you start seeing, again, like you mentioned, you get some of those books, you're like, well, that's Detective Comics. That's not really what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. I bet you it's a great run, but not what I'm looking for in this thing. So then I started to go, what do I want to read about? And so I went like graphic novels about and insert to see if I could find something out there. One of the books that I got was based on a search for you and I are lovers of punk rock, lovers of music. And so I really did look for graphic novels about music. Right. I got a lot of biographies and a lot of stories of bands, and I didn't really want to do that. I didn't want to read about the Beatles. I didn't really want to read about David Bowie. There was one about Miles Davis, and I was like, oh, that might be interesting, but not really what I was looking for in the summer, right?
So maybe a different theme, maybe a different summer.
Or maybe like a biography pick.
Yeah.
Like you and I.
We've read some good ones, like that Andy Kaufman one was really solid.
Yeah. So, and I have a Bela Lugosi one on my shelf over here that I've been meaning to like go, oh, we should read that. I haven't read it yet myself, but, I was like, okay, I don't want to do the biography piece of it. So I just started digging, and what I mentioned before is I would find something and I would be like, okay, nope. I don't want to do that. And then I wanted to bring a variety of books to this conversation, because what you get a lot when you go start looking for indie stuff is you get a lot of like there's a lot of YA when you go look for graphic novels. And so I was like, okay, I got to step away from, I don't want to bring YA books. It's not going to, a lot of those are about like coming of age and discovering yourself. And at 44, I've already come of age. I've already discovered myself. I don't know that that's, I don't know that it was going to speak to me like it would. And then just finding, then you have to carve down like, what am I interested in reading about? Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to pick an indie book just because people say it's good if I, if it's not something I'm interested in. So I had a big list. I had about 9 books and then I started going through them and pulling some back. And so I'm down to 5. So my first book, Travis, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
First book. I'm going to dump it in the chat so that you can take a look at it while I.
Cool. I got a little pen and paper here. Old school.
Well, oh, good. Write it down old school for me because you're going to be the keeper of the books. So this book is called Talking to My Father's Ghost. Talking to My Father's Ghost. I'm going to read you kind of what it's about. It's by Alex Crocus, I think is how you say his last name. He's an indie comic artist that I've followed on Instagram for a long time. He does a lot of like mini comics. He's like a web comic guy, right? He shares stuff on Instagram. So here's it. Set over the course of a single year, this book follows Alex and his father's ghost as they stroll along winter beaches, camp in rattlesnake-infested deserts, and share countless dinner meals together. Between fielding fatherly lectures on the importance of doing his taxes, how to properly shovel the driveway, and why he should always tip 20%, Alex tries to figure out what he needs to say to his dad. So it is a book where Alex always draws himself as a raccoon. His dad is an owl, but his dad becomes a ghost. It's very cartoony, but it's about it's about loss, and it's about trying to figure out how to come to terms with the death of your father in a funny way, right? And so as someone who lost his father, I was like, okay, how do you deal with something like that? How does a cartoonist, how does a humorist deal with something like that? So that's my first pick, Talking to My Father's Ghost.
Good, really pick at that scab as someone who has an 82-year-old father. I don't know if to read this book now or do I read it later. But Father's Day is coming up, and that's a summer event. Well, within our time frame, Josh.
That's right.
All right.
That's
okay. Interesting. I got that there, and I like the cover. It's that old. Forgot. I should have known the artist.
It's a
like
diner picture.
Hopkins. Yeah, something Hopkins on there. Okay, I'm good. I like your pick because I have some picks that are different types of graphic novels. I'm using that term really loosely here, which is going to really test our ability to talk about things that aren't traditional narratives, which takes me to my first book, which I'm putting in the chats right now. Link to it.
Okay, what do we
got? This one is called My Dirty Dumb Eyes, and this is by Lisa Hannah-Walt. And so basically what this one is, as opposed to being a traditional narrative, it really is a collection of like humorous, artistic interpretation. So it's like interesting way of doing jokes or philosophies or like joke out things on there. So I think it's a rather quick read and there's no traditional narrative, but that's kind of what I like about it because I think it's an interesting way to talk about what a graphic novel can be if it's thematically the same, but not a traditional narrative. And I did look at some of the previews and some of the things really made me laugh. I'm like, I don't know quite how I would talk about this. But because we've never done anything like it, I think it could open up for a good one. So they'll be like dogs in different weird hats. And you're like, what's going on with this? So that might be one where you have to check out the preview too. But also, if it was a weird choice that I picked, I made sure that it wasn't an oppressively long, a weird pick.
Yeah, so. It's an interesting idea of to discuss like what is a... You know, what is a comic, right? Or what is a graphic novel? I can see that. Interesting. I looked at the art. It's very color pencil-y. It's very kind of like arty. It'd be interesting to see if we can push ourselves to not reading a story, right? What does that look like?
And I will very quickly knock out the first two because you did it as well. That's good. It's called My Dirty Dumb Eyes introduces Lisa Hannah-Walt as a first-rank cartoonist, humorist, and stalker for an audience that likes its humor, idiosyncratic, at times anthropomorphic or scatological, often uncomfortable and always sharp-witted. Her world vision is intricately rendered in a full spectrum of color, unapologetically gorgeous, and intensely bizarre.
All right. So I want to ask, so this kind of prompts me. I went on to each of these books, downloaded the sample on my Kindle, and looked at the sample on my Kindle and kind of read through it. Did you do a similar thing?
Yep.
Okay. All right. All right. So my next book is called Beat It, Rufus. I told you I was looking for books about music, books about punk rock. So this book, Beat It, Rufus by Noah Van.
This is great.
Noah Van Sciver. I have a book by Noah Van Sciver on my shelf. I got it from Kilgore Press. It's a very short book that I had gotten from him before. It looks a little bit like our Crumb. It reminds me a little bit of, remember we did my best friend or my friend Dahmer, right? It's that kind of art style. So here's the pitch for this one. Rufus Baxter is an aging, professionally unemployed loser, desperately, delusionally hanging on to his 1980s hair metal fantasies of headlining arenas, despite so much evidence to the contrary. The rest of his bandmates and Funky Cool died decades ago in a horrible plane crash on the cusp of their big break. When he gets kicked out of a Denver storage unit he's been illegally sleeping in, his only prospect is a last-second wedding gig the very next day in Wyoming. A hop in his car and possibly peyote button or two sends Baxter on a psychedelic and existential road trip through his past and forces him to confront every bad decision he's made along the way. One, the art's ugly. It's weird. It is a story of rock and roll, and it's offbeat. And I like my first two picks on here, very offbeat, very kind of comedy centric indie writers. And so that's my pick for this one. I thought it was cool looking. It's not super long. And I think we get to talk rock and roll, man. We get to talk music and looking back on the past, because what else do you do when you're in your 40s?
From what I've seen of it too, it feels like a underhand pitch too for what you think of when you think of indie comics, like the indie comics that we grew up with in the 90s, thinking back to the 80s and what was like R. Crumb and stuff like that. Like I think it really hits on a lot of levels on there.
Yeah.
All right. I'm dropping my next one to you in the chat.
Okay.
And this is called Organisms from an Ancient Cosmos. Okay. Mm. It's by author and illustrator Craig Zahler, I believe it's pronounced on here. A supernatural graphic novel written and illustrated by Craig Zahler, award-winning film director of Bone Tomahawk. You ever seen that, Josh?
No, I have not.
Great one. Brawl and Cell, A Block 99, and Dragged Across Concrete. An alien spacecraft the size of a city materializes over the Pacific Ocean, and the nations of the world jointly engage this enigmatic and incommunicative visitor with force. This battle results in large-scale destruction on both sides, but does not answer any of the questions that will haunt humanity. What are these utterly inhuman creatures? Where do they come from? Why did they choose to visit our planet? And most importantly, are more forces on the way? So, obviously, we kind of have a very general sci-fi premise.
Yeah.
I love all three of these movies that this guy has written. And without reading the sample on the Amazon link I sent you, you can see the art is black and white, really kind of Sunday strip cartoony. But I always kind of love when
also
you have this kind of dark premise, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like just cartooned out like that. You know, you're going to – I find that these comic books are at least good for about two or three haunting scenes.
Yeah, I really – I just looked at it really quickly while you were talking, and it does – give off again that like this is, and I hate in my mind that's what an indie comic book is, right? It's that black and white R. Crumby looking you know, you'd find a strip like that in Cracked or Mad, right? Like that's what it looks like. It looks, everybody's head is a little big. It also reminds me of some old school, this old school comicking from Everything's a Square Panel, Nothing's Trying to Get Too Crazy. Oh man, there's one. I have a collection from this old artist that I can't see it on my shelf quick enough to talk about it. But okay.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of your doodling too.
I do. It is an interesting sort of concept. I do like that a lot. All right. So mine, I'm going to dump it in the chat. Nope, that's not the right one. I thought I copied it. All right. So my next book is called Drome. And this is a little bit different of a book. Drome is by Jesse Lonergan. I think that's how you say his last name. And Drome is a kind of sci-fi. Look at us, Travis Ratz, kind of going on the same sci-fi graphic novel. It is a lot of, from the reading, it's a lot, there's not a lot of dialogue. So again, something that tests the boundaries of what can we talk about when we talk about graphic novels. So here's the pitch. First, there was nothing. Then humanity was born and an endless cycle of violence began. From the depths of the ocean, a mighty demigoddess is called forth to rein in humankind's destructive impulses and teach a language of peace and harmony. Civilization quickly takes root, a great city rising from the desert, but the balance between chaos and order is a fragile one, and there are higher powers at work in this strange new world. So, Jesse, I've also someone I follow on Instagram. I've seen this book pop up. I've seen him, you know, go like, hey, my new book's coming out. I've read, I think I have one of his other books on in my bedroom right now that's on my stack of stuff to read. And this one, I just thought, very cool art style, plays with paneling, does some interesting artwork. And I like the idea of looking at how do we do comic art. It's a little long, but I think it would be a good read because essentially some of the pages, there's literally just a picture.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not a lot of reading. It's a lot of art. And as a book, as a podcast that like talks about art and graphic, I like the idea of exploring this medium in a very art forward way. So
right, this is definitely one. If we do, like, I would get this one in hard copy because I don't think Kindle always does the best job of, depending on how you go through it, of doing the panels, so you can really see. Like, I'm looking at this really cool panel layouts in the samples where they're kind of dipping down. This is one I saw pop up quite a bit when I was doing my searches, but I never clicked into to see what it was actually about.
Yeah,
it's so actually, when I see the sample pages, it looks really cool.
Yeah, it's very art. New, right? Like I said, I follow him on Instagram. I follow Jesse on Instagram. He's a really cool artist. And so I was like, okay, I want to see what this looks like. And it looks cool, man. I think, again, it's that piece of how do we explore art or comic books in a different way.
Nice.
All right. What do you got for me, sir?
I'm dropping this one, and this is a relatively new one as well. This came out in February of this year. It's called Mama Came Calling.
Okay.
It's by Ezra Clayton Daniels and Camelia Sucre is the illustrator. I believe that's how you pronounce that. And I came across this because Ezra Clayton Daniels had another book that I was really thinking about putting on the list. But then this popped up, and this sounded a little bit more kind of interesting out there. So it's called a gripping graphic horror novel set in Florida Bayou, following a young biracial woman as she uncovers her estranged father's role in a grisly hate crime. Kira was born from an improbable interracial relationship that in Central Florida's infamous, I don't know how you pronounce this county, Asarapa County, defied all odds, but her idyllic childhood was shattered by an urban legend come to life. The Gator Man was a nightmare on the lips of kids and grown-ups alike, all the way back to Jim Crow, a monster with the body of a man, a head of an alligator, and a taste for black children. That's who crawled into Kira's window when Kira was just 5 years old. According to the police, it was Kira's own father who put that gator mask on and tried to kill her. 20 years later, Kira works hard to build a life unburdened by the traumatic events of her childhood. Just when it seems like she's managed to find her stride, her dad, fresh out of prison, crashes back into a world with a chilling message. He's coming for you.
Oh, like the art, man. The art looks cool.
Yeah, the art to me. Now, at first, this is kind of a thing with indie comics, is indie comics are a great vehicle for politics and, like, you know, on there. But it's not really what we do on this show. We're certainly not afraid of talking about politics that are embedded in the themes of a book, and that's the author's storytelling on there. But in searching up indie books, there are a lot that they'll just be like, this whole book is about a protest march. I'm like, well, that seems to be very on the surface. This certainly, in the reading of it, you could tell that there is going to be somewhat of a political message with the biracialness of the characters and even bringing up Jim Crow in there. Yeah. But on the surface, it very much seems like it could be a really cool, as they said, a Bayou noir horror story. So
yeah,
I like the art look cool.
That's right. The art looks really cool. And I think I would agree with you there. I think indie comics allow writers to very much upfront what they're thinking about, whether that's about discovering who they are. There's a lot of gender exploration and sexual identity discussion in graphic novels. And as like two cis white guys, I don't know that we have a lot to say about discovering, yourself as a you know, in transgender and things like that.
Yeah.
Not that I would shy away from reading anything like that, but this looks interesting. I like the idea of exploring that Jim Crow era, you know, as a history teacher who, you know, taught those eras and taught those pieces of Jim Crow law. I always kind of like to learn a little bit more about it. Right. Having not grown up in with that in my face. Right. That's interesting.
I just kind of want to see how they bridge that with Gator Man. I wonder if there is some historical connections to some of those folklores that come out of like persecution or things like
that. Well, I'm sure that just the idea of like the Gator Man goes after black children. Right?
Yeah.
That's a really interesting kind of idea. I'm curious what that looks like. So, all right, my next book is called In by Will McPhail. This is kind of autobiographical. It's about a cartoonist trying to learn how to fit in with human interaction. So the art is stark, and it feels very much like this idea of a guy trying to figure out how to fit in the world of people. So to give you the quick... Nick, a young illustrator, can't shake the feeling that there is some hidden realm of human interaction beyond his reach. He haunts look-alike, fussy, silly coffee shops, listens to old Joni Mitchell albums too loudly, and stares at his navel in the hopes that he will find it in there. But it isn't until he learns to speak from the heart that he begins to find authentic human connection and is let in to the worlds of the people he meets. Nick's journey occurs alongside the beginnings of a relationship with Ren, a wry-spirited oncologist at a nearby hospital whose work and life become painfully tangled with Nick's. So, stark art. I like the idea of a semi-autobiographical tale. I think this challenges that sort of... It is, again, a different version of art. Right? Like, how do you make a comic? What do you do? There are some pages where he'll have a lot of panels, and then there'll be a page where there's one panel, or there'll be a page where there's three panels, right? And looking at the art, it looks like there's a lot of interesting facial expressions as he's trying to figure people out and things like that. So this one looked interesting to me. It's probably one of the more navel gazy figure myself out books on
the own. Art in here is maybe some of my favorite I've seen from our sample so far. And just those blank backgrounds on there, right? Yeah. It looks actually, I really dig it. And I was like, this guy's like listening to Joni Mitchell albums, and I'm like,
all right, what's your next one, Travis?
I almost didn't want to put this one on here, but I said, you know what, someone gave me a copy of this book a couple like years ago, and it's been sitting on my shelf and I haven't read it. It's not what we consider. It does show up on a list when you do as graphic novels. And it's been in the zeitgeist. It's like things that people talk about, but it's that book, The Boy, The Mole, The Fox and The Horse.
Okay.
This is by Charles McCaskey. And this is like, I don't know, people who don't read comics are like, pass this book around. It's one of those, they like in here, they said like the Tao of Pooh or like the Little Prince or like one of those books that's all ages and yeah. The Alchemist, right? But has the Giving Tree is listed on here, but it's fable-like for all ages. That's supposed, like everyone says there's this book, you walk away from it and you're just like, wow, like there is like hope and like, and sweetness. And I don't know, maybe I'm just hurting for some humanity. And summertime is always a good time to get a dose of, I don't know, just goodness in your life. So maybe that's why, like, despite it not being what we can traditionally call a graphic novel. Also, it's really short. It's 128 pages, but it's like the art on here is this. It says, Charlie McCaskey offers inspiration and hope in uncertain times in this beautiful book based on his famous quartet of characters, the boy, the mole, the fox, and the horse. And then they don't spoil anything by giving you what those characters do. But I think that's kind of the point, is you go in not knowing it.
It looks very much just a children's picture book. And I'm not trying to like dissuade or anything, but it really is one image and a sentence or two per page, right? So it's it is Winnie the Pooh, right? It very much looks like a children's book. Not that we can't get something from that.
Yeah.
But
sure.
Okay. All right.
I just thought it'd be interesting to talk about, like, do we call this a graphic novel? Because I mean, online they call it a graphic novel, and it kind of opens up my world to being like, oh, maybe this is something I could do. Like, just do like one of these.
there was one. So I almost put on the list to kind of talk about the same thing. The Calvin and Hobbes guy. Why can't I remember his name? Bill Watterson did a book. I don't know, at this point, probably 7 years ago. But it really is a picture book. It really is like one image and maybe a line. So it's more of a children. It's not a children's book because it's not for kids, but that's really what it is. And I was like, oh, I really want to read it, but I don't know that it's something that we can spend 30 minutes talking about. Right.
Right. That's what I was kind of interested too. I'm like, I don't know how this would work, but I feel like that is kind of one of the fun parts about indie standalone summer.
unless we talked about our love for, like, what's your favorite children book as you were a kid, right?
Yeah.
Like that's a Frog and Toad, bud. It's always going to be Frog and Toad.
Oh, yeah. That's completely white from my memory.
Frog and Toad always going to be a top one for me. All right. So my last pick, let's see. I'm going to put it in the chat for you. It's called A Gift for a Ghost. And it is a graphic novel that follows, again, Travis Ratt. I told you I wanted to talk about punk rock. This book, A Gift for a Ghost, an untalented punk band and a parallel dimension. What could go wrong? In Borja Gonzalez's stunning graphic novel, two parallel stories reflect and intertwine in a tale of youthful dreams and desires. In 1856, Teresa, a young aristocrat, is more interested in writing avant-garde horror poetry than making a suitable marriage. In 2016, three teenage girls, Gloria, Laura, and Christina, want to start a punk band called the Black Holes. They have everything they need: attitude, looks, instinct, and an alarming lack of musical talent. They've barely started rehearsing when strange things begin to happen. As their world and Teresa's interact, they're haunted by the echo of something that happened 160 years ago. It looks like Mignola, but rounded edges.
Very much.
I really like the art. I like the idea of let's explore two different stories. Let's explore trying to start a punk band. For you and I think it's an interesting take of like, okay, what this story of these women dealing with, you know, these girls dealing with kind of wanting to be something, the girl 160 years earlier trying to be something that she's not allowed to be. I think it's an interesting sort of, I talked about it earlier, like this idea of like, it's a coming of age story. And do I need to do a coming of age story at 44? But the art got me and the material of, I'm like, okay, it's a punk band. I'm in. I want to read something about it. And dude, the art just looks great. It is.
It looks good. That's Mignola. Yeah.
It is like very much Mignola, but rounded. And the little skeleton guy and that you get to see in it, that's a little Mignola skeleton dude, right? Like there's, it seems like a fun sort of thing. I do like, you know, it's a Spanish artist, a self-taught illustrator, who did comic strips. And so I don't know, a very interesting kind of tale. So that's one, that's my last pick of my five, Travis Ratz.
All right. We got some good books here. I mean, I can literally read all these books. I mean, I have some initial thoughts on ones that I would pose taking off, not because I wasn't interested in reading them, but just on where our conversation has gone. So without further ado, we'll get into it. I'm going to go ahead and suggest that we take off one of my books because I was waiting to see how you'd bite on it. And that's The Boy, the Mole, the Horse on there. I thought maybe this is one that had kind of been in your, like, oh, yeah, I've heard about this one.
I've actually never heard of it.
Or on that one. Thing where we package it with something else, like a toad, and like make it like a theme, because it does. I think it's, I don't know if it truly hits into the idea of indie comic summer the way the other ones do.
Yeah I would agree with
it.
You
might be more like
kids. I'm interested in it, maybe a different time to read that, and like I said, that Bill Watterson one, maybe we pair those together at some point and talk.
Yeah, that would be a good like Christmas, like holiday kind of feel good, you know. Thing on there, so I'll take that off. And then I want to go, and maybe I thought that one I really wanted to just take off, but then I wanted to go here, which of the books that I listed are you most excited about reading, and then I'll tell you which of the books that you listed, and we'll go ahead and lock those two in.
Organisms from an Ancient Cosmos.
Okay,
that's one of yours that I was like, ooh, I like the art a lot. I'm into the I really do kind of like that. The art looks great. And I think if I were to, that feels the most indie to me. Right.
Right.
So it drips with indie comic book art. So, I love like B movie. I love B movie 50s thing. And that's what it looks like. So,
yeah. I mean, yeah, like Mars Attacks kind of stuff.
All right. So what's one of mine? You're like, yep, that's one.
For me, along the same lines, Beat It, Rufus.
Go ahead.
I love the punk rock stuff, but in the terms of other books on your list that screams like indie comics to me and my preconceptions of it, it's that book. And I mean, I've actually several of your books I could have put on there. I think we're going to be reading a bunch from that list. But that was the one on there. So I feel like our first two picks are like our preconceived notions of what indie summer is. And now it's going to get interesting from here.
All right. So Travis, what's your next book? So we're shooting for about five or six books, right?
Yeah, five or six books. I'm kind of going with ones. Since I wanted to lock in the ones from each of our lists that we like. And I think... no one's personally offended for like, we don't want this book on here. I'm going to go. So from your list, what would be one that you would be disappointed if it got kicked off? We're going to do Beat It, Rufus. So of the ones that are left, which one you're like, I'm really excited about this one.
I think the conversation around Drome would be interesting because it's a different type of graphic novel. It is very sci-fi, but not, I don't like, so I really do dig the art on that one. I don't know. I think that one, it just seems different, right? I think it would give us a different conversation. So I'd like that one to maybe be on our list.
Okay. Yeah. I got to make sure that at first I was just like one of those when a drama, you're like, okay, If it doesn't have a lot of story, it becomes like a Terrence Malick film, which requires you to kind of talk about it in a different way.
Yeah.
And really talk about the visuals and how that does story, which we've done before in certain books, but we don't do enough, I don't think, for a podcast that talks about the medium of comics. We're usually pretty story and plot heavy.
Yeah.
So I think this gives us an opportunity to kind of open up the realm of possibilities on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And can I, for my disappointing one on here, it's along the same lines. I think it's going to be weird, but my Dirty Dumb Eyes.
All right.
The weird collection of them. I don't know what that's going to look like in the long run, the sample on there. Yeah. I think it's going to go quickly. And I think we might struggle on how to talk about it, but also I think it's going to be a conversation we've never had before.
Agreed. Agreed.
Okay. Okay. And then with that, I'm going to take off another book from my list. Like maybe not this one, unless you really want to do it. Mama Came Calling. Looking at the rest of the list, I don't know if it fits in with the four that we have picked in there. The subplot feels pretty intense as far as politics.
I'm going to tell you what, I'm kind of interested in exploring at least one book that hits on something like that, right? So okay. I think indie comics gives us the opportunity to talk about those things that maybe you don't get to talk about as blatantly in another book. And then I kind of like the art. I kind of like the idea of how do you explore our myths, our kind of like spooky stories, do they pull from a nefarious place? Mm. Right. And so I think that's an interesting conversation. Not that we have to do it, but I don't want to knock it off the, I don't want to knock it off the list right away. I think if I were going to knock one off of my list, and you said you really did like the art on it, but I think In is one of those where like, I don't know, like it could be very hit or miss.
Yeah.
I like the sample that I read. It seemed interesting, but it is like, it looks and like it's going to feel real indie. I don't know.
See, I was into In. I was kind of like,
I'm into it, but I'm like, yeah. So So.
Because it is that introspective book, it does feel like almost like a personal memoir. And we don't have a lot of that on there, which is a vehicle for indie comic. I guess the Rufus one may be a little bit on there. So, like Mama Colin, I wouldn't immediately kick out In.
Let's just pause really quick. Our list right now is
Organisms of Ancient Cosmos, Beat It Rufus, Drome, and Dirty Dumb Eyes.
Dirty Dumb Eyes.
Okay, yeah, four. I think we're going to have to go six, man.
Well, I believe that Dirty Dumb Eyes is probably going to be a real quick read. And it might be one of those when we read it, we go, I don't know how we talk about it. Right.
Yeah.
Depending on how it flows. So I think six is going to be a good number. So my question for you goes, if we do Mama Come Calling, that's five, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe
that's it. Maybe I wanted to read it, but maybe you're right. Maybe Dirty Dumb Eyes is more like, that might be more like a stocking stuffer gift that like I get myself. And if it works, we talk about it.
Okay. I just,
it feels a little, yeah. Okay. Well, there's definitely probably not going to be a story. So you're right. Let's remove that one. Okay. That frees it up on there.
So that gives us four, right?
Yeah.
Beat It Rufus. Cosmic death stuff. I don't really do it. Mama Came Calling in Drome. So,
I would put In then on there as well for five.
Yeah,
and then we pick one for your list for six. Of your, I think we should go with one. So then we're down to a gift to a ghost and talking to my father's ghost.
Two ghost titles. Yeah.
I would do one because Father's Day is coming up. I think talking to my father's ghost has the most different art from the rest of them.
Yeah.
And also I do like the premise and the art in a gift to a ghost, but it does fall a little bit into that YA category. And since we already have a punk rock book on there.
Yeah.
Of the two, I would read a gift to a ghost, maybe a different.
Yeah. Different maybe that's something that pops up for a spooky book.
Okay.
Maybe that's an October spooky book later.
Yeah. So I would say talking to my father's ghost. Yep.
Okay. All right. So we have essentially two kind of feeling autobiographical books, the In book and then Talking to My Father's Ghost. We have two kind of sci-fi books, right? And then we have the kind of tale of noir, institutional racism, spookiness.
You know, that old classic trope.
Yeah, it goes together. And then what's the last book I'm missing? What's book six?
Beat It Rufus?
Yes, Beat It Rufus. We got six books for indie standalone summer. Travis, can you give us the name of those books again for everybody?
Sure. In no particular order, we have Organisms from an Ancient Cosmos, Beat It Rufus, Drome, Mama Came Colin, In, and Talking to My Father's Ghost.
All right. All right. So I think we got a good spread for Indie Summer.
Yeah. I'm excited. It's all different.
That's what I think is most interesting, is because this gives us an opportunity to read stuff that's not from the big two, that isn't steeped in weekly comics, that I think can explore different things than what you're going to get in a weekly comic. And it's not, look, none of it is going to be Sean Phillips and Ed Brubaker, because that's the, like, when we read an indie book, we're like, oh, they got one out, let's read it.
Does Daniel Warren have anything new? He's writing Transformers. I guess is it still indie if he does it?
So, okay, I like where this is going. I think it's going to be a good read. So now it's up to you and I to set the order, start reading, start talking about them. Folks, thanks for tuning in to us pulling back the curtain for 45 minutes as we do our draft of books for Indie Summer. Follow the podcast on Instagram at Comic Exposure. Write a review, rate it, like it, whatever you do on your podcast app. You can also watch this on YouTube. We're on right now. And if you're like, man, every single episode, Josh is wearing a hat. Why is Josh wearing a hat on every single episode? It's not because I'm going bald. It's because this gets recorded at 7 in the morning, and I am not up and raring to go at 7 in the morning with a shower. I usually shower after the show. So it's the good bedhead, guys. That's what
and I usually wear hats too, Josh, for a different reason. It's in the evening here, but it's Sunday evening. And so on Sundays, I've never showered and I've gone to the gym and I've maybe taken a nap on the couch. I've graded some papers and pulling my hair out with kids who can't use commas, create compound sentences. So yeah. It's just a general sloppiness on my part.
It's a general sloppiness all around on a Sunday or a Saturday as we record these. All right. Folks, thanks for tuning in. We will see you next trade.